Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha ha! Just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. How are you? Hope you had or are having a great week. A few more days. Currently watching the World Series Game 7 right now. There has been no winner yet, but by the time this comes out, there will be. So that's why you can hear a very displaced emotion on my part. The Dodgers are losing, but it's the first inning, so there's time. And I see Larry King sitting right behind home plate, so... Oh my God. It's insane. It's very intense. If you don't get into Game 7s, it's like the Super Bowl. This happens once in a blue moon. Today's episode is one of my favorites we've had in a long time. A guest I've been wanting on for a while. Been a fan of hers for a long time. Lucky enough to become friends with her. You know her from her Comedy Central show, Not Safe with Nikki Glaser, from The Tonight Show, from Conan, from everything. Nikki Glaser is our guest today, the one and only. And we covered a lot of shit, man. No pun intended. I don't even want to give it away, but it's one of the most fascinating and insightful and inspiring stories. And again, how someone finds stand-up comedy to me is just so fascinating. And her story might really bring you to tears because it's pretty incredible. Nikki's one of the best in the biz, incredibly sweet, and man, was so generous to be candid with us on a lot of things today. And it's fucking really just one of those great, fun, hilarious conversations. So enjoy the hell out of this one. Follow Nikki on Twitter and Instagram at Nikki Glaser. Me at Adam Ray Comedy on both of those. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. At Funny Brad on Twitter. At ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present episodes. The new website is up and working, so get that. And also email us at AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com because... you know, with your favorite ALN moments, where you get the show, why you got into it. We're going to start reading those because the merch has been ordered and will be received in a few weeks. And then we'll start sending that shit out, man. Beanies, sweats, shirts. Can't wait to put it on the website. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes. Comment and rate on the iTunes page. And so you can get all the great eps that are coming up, like Nikki Glaser, like Judd Apatow. That'll be on Monday. Oh, yeah, baby. We're recording that one in the next few days. So many great eps. So make sure you are subscribed. Okay, so you can get all the fun. I think that's it. Oh, tour dates. Holy shit. This week, Brad Williams is at Levity Live in Oxnard, California. Tonight through Sunday, I will be there Saturday night with Brad. The 4th of November, Brad Williams, Adam Ray, Levity Live, Oxnard, California. Of course, Brad will be there Thursday through Sunday. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. Next Wednesday, November 8th, I'm headlining Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona. And then November 10th through the 12th, I'm headlining Tempe Improv in Arizona. All those tickets at improv.com or adamraycomedy.com. Once again, November 8th, Stand Up Live, November 10th through the 12th, Tempe Improv. Bring in Avery Pearson with music, comedy. Gonna be pumped. Got a brand new hour since the last time I was in Tempe, so... come out to the shows. Stand Up Live, Phoenix, November 8th, Tempe Improv, November 10th through the 12th. And then, of course, November 14th, the next Adam Ray and Buddy show at the Comedy Store, 8:30 Main Room, November 14th. Dana Carvey, Kevin Nealon, Finesse Mitchell, and a few other surprises. All right, I think that's it. Now that we got the tour dates, merch info, and Twitter handles out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Nikki Glaser.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
I'm finding out I'm deaf, I think. Recently. Why? Just from doing podcasts and being like, I can't hear myself, and everyone's like,
what was that?
I mean, it's fine, but I really liked a surround sound.
I mean,
Yeah.
Brad, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Congrats on your hearing, Brad.
It's one thing that dwarves have, like, we're really good at that.
Okay, you have a better hearing.
Way better hearing. Okay. We're, like, almost dog level. Like
smelling?
Smelling, not so much.
Yeah, you don't need that. No, no one needs to smell more.
We don't know. Really.
Ugh, I'd love to shut that off. I once dated a guy who had no sense of smell. Do you guys just start or no?
Yeah, we're going. Yeah.
Oh, you are? Okay, I once dated a guy with no sense of smell. Wow. And we were meeting up to it was long distance and we hadn't really fooled around much before that. And then we were meeting up and it was going to be like on, you know, when we met up. And we got to like the hotel where we were both like going to stay the weekend because I was on the road and he came out and visited. And he like took a shit and I could smell it and he couldn't. And it ruined everything for me.
How early on was that?
Like... you know, he had just gotten off the plane. I think he just like doesn't know. And usually people without senses of smell are very sensitive to that. They know that like they don't smell things, so they know they have to be. Yeah. And usually he was, but I smelled his shit, and I was like,
even if you can't smell your own shit, you know that shit smells.
Yes,
though, right?
Of course. Yeah. So and I think he tried to cover it up, but I just like knew it had happened, and was just like, I could. But let me just be fair and say that if a guy's hot enough, I don't care if his shit smells. Literally sometimes. My boyfriend,
his little shit, not like his swagger.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. If his shit don't stink,
like, I'll still fuck with you.
But my like ex-boyfriend, I never heard him fart or shit or anything. And I think one time I heard him shit, and I was like, "Oh my god, that's so hot." He's like a human, like because it made me feel like more close to him because I was like, "Whoa, he's doing that." He'd be horrified if ever he ever heard this.
I think that's like a cornerstone moment of every relationship where it's like, okay, now we've reached the stage where I can know that you shit. And
yes.
I still want to be with you.
Yes. And well, it is interesting because I've talked about this extensively, but the relationship I just got out of, we were together like nearly 5 years and we'll probably get back together. But unless he hears this, but I didn't fart in front of him or like there was no like, I'm going to go drop one off at the fucking toilet school or whatever people say.
Drop the kids off at the pool.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's
I used
right.
to hear drop the Cosby kids off.
Yes.
At the pool.
And now that's not OK because he's a rapist.
Yeah.
That's
so, you don't want
like
rape and shit jokes crossing paths.
No, you can't. No.
Shit jokes.
Like
fine.
Two ships in the night.
Yeah.
They
should go on their separate journeys.
Right.
You guys are living your own purposes. But they should not meet up in the middle for some
shit
sort of terrible shit joke, by the way.
Oh,
who's dropping
God.
The Cosby kids off? So many other black families you could like reference in that.
Not
you
really. Could
be dropping the Winslows off.
Oh,
you know?
The Winslows.
Yeah. You could do Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
Okay, but you mean the Smiths?
Yeah.
No, who were they?
Oh, yeah. They were the
Banks.
Banks. Good
yeah.
job, Hillary right. Banks.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were the Banks family. So, yeah.
Dropping
go.
The Banks
okay,
off
so
at the...
Is that it?
And, that and I mean, you could do Good Times. I don't know the name of those.
Yeah.
The well, characters there.
Were they a cohesive family, or was that just kind
or
of a bunch of characters?
You could pick a black family in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
But usually...
Or just say one black person, depending on what your shit... What the consistency... Like,
yes.
If it's just...
You would hope
you're assuming you're doing
a
bunch of little
person.
Poops. Yeah.
You would just hope that it...
I'm dropping Denzel off at the lake.
Day,
you know?
You're like, dropping Denzel off at the lake.
I'm dropping, you know,
at
Taraji P. Henson
hole.
Off at the off at the slip and slide park.
Sure.
The old watering hole.
Yeah. Just
okay,
one though.
So like it's just ironic to me that someone that would not want to ever know that I like fart or shit or do any of those things would also like fuck me in the ass all the time. Because
wow.
That's where it comes from.
That
yeah.
was his thing.
That is crazy.
It wasn't his thing, but it was a thing. But it's like, but he also, I mean, I joke about it in my Netflix special about the time that I like shit on him.
On the stand-ups?
Yeah, on
fantastic,
the stand-ups.
By the
thank
way.
You.
Yeah.
And he couldn't have been, I remember being like, oh my God, he is never going to want to talk to me again. Because it was like early enough in our relationship that I knew things about him. Like he comes from a family where shit and fart jokes are just like a no-go. Like you just
wow.
don't make those and they gross everyone out.
And he was dating you.
And he was dating me.
Wow.
And so I put those on hold, but then I shit on him. And and I was like, oh my God, he's never going to want to be with me again. And he couldn't have been, he was way cooler about it than most people would be.
Well, because wow. I would think that in that scenario, and especially if he cares about you, he knows how horrified you are.
Yes.
So like if you did it and had no remorse whatsoever, like
I was
yeah,
just like, take it.
You should be lucky I shit on you.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like I could see how then it's like, all right,
no,
maybe this
horrifying.
Isn't the girl for me. But if he sees you be a human being
yes.
and go, no, this is bad. I'm so sorry. I will do anything
yeah.
for you now, like fine.
Why isn't there more shit in porn? I mean, I'm sure they cut around it because it does happen, but you know it's on the cutting room floor. And how does that stuff not get out? And I'm sure that that does get out. I'm sure there's I'm just not looking hard enough.
Tapes of like, yeah.
I think there's leaking.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of leakage.
A lot of leakage.
Maybe that's what we're not searching for, leakage.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's so gross.
Can we talk about porn? Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah. First of all, I wanted to know too, like, let's put a
How did I get started in
porn.
Comedy?
No, hilarious. Take me back to Cincinnati.
Kill you.
No, we don't do that. We might, but I want to know though, in terms of material, especially with significant others, because I love that you were so like putting things on a shelf to be like, oh, I don't know yet. But like, what is your whole take on that in general? Like 3 months in, a year in, at what point do you have to be? Because I have stuff now about like my brother-in-law, right? Who is a rapper and is white. And look, some people are like, oh, that's not that funny. Well, let me tell you a story about hearing some of his songs about my sister in front of my sister and myself at a concert for like the first time I meet him. Like stuff about that I want to talk about. But he's also like oddly sensitive and also like he loves comedy. But I think I'm not looking to I also want their relationship to just be
solid and not and they have any kind of out.
I don't want to. You don't want to be the reason they break up.
I also don't want to. I mean, I think I just need to find the angle that is like, oh, this is funny, but it's not making fun of you and your art.
It's really hard. I think that the longer we do this, the more we learn boundaries, because I have none for myself. So I'll talk about shitting on a dick, but it's like there's a dick in that story that maybe doesn't want to be talked about being shit on. And I'm like, but I'm the one shitting, so you should get talked about it, you know?
Right.
Like, where it's like, I feel entitled to that story because I'm the one that's doing the most embarrassing thing in that story.
Yeah.
But also, as a man, being shit on is not a great look. So I also, so I've crossed that a lot of times, and we broke up once because I was, you know,
too open.
Yeah, well, I was just, I was not respectful of him, and like didn't, I, for humor, I disrespected him a lot. And would like talk shit and be not
literally
nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I would be, take that to be on the other side of that.
No,
like,
it's not fun.
I mean, there's times even when I'm out, I'm sure we've all experienced this, where you're with friends socially that you may have just met or you've known for a while, and something happens that definitely is not going into your act, but they're so like on pins and needles about like, oh, am I going to end up in your show?
Yeah.
You're like, dude, you just like, you dropped a sandwich, but don't talk about it. You're like, not worth mentioning, even right now again, you know?
Yes.
So I do understand that and respect that, but you're also like, that's one of the benefits of having all these experiences that like, oh, we have an hour to talk about it. And you know that 99% of the people aren't going to talk about that.
Yeah.
So it's almost a responsibility too.
Yes. I think you ask permission. I think that's it. You just don't assume that they're going to be okay with it.
That's my personal rule is I always ask my wife's permission when a story
happens.
To have sex.
Please.
Yeah. It's more begging. Yeah. Please. I need it.
Yeah, but then there are sometimes I just assume like, why would anyone have a problem with that? Because I am so far out about like things, nothing embarrasses me. So things that I would be like, that wouldn't be anything, really could embarrass someone. And so I have to be more sensitive about it. And I'm learning.
But now
when I'm on like Bumble and all these things and people swipe, like when I clearly have known someone swiping left on me or I like, you know, you just get a sense that people aren't interested. And I'm like, how could you not fucking be interested in me? Like, I'm hot, I'm successful, I'm like funny, like how do you not? And then I go, I always can now, I just convince myself, oh, they don't want to be in my act, that's why they didn't. So everything else, my ego is safe.
They
just don't want to be in my act.
That's not probably something that's far off from the truth. There's probably guys
and if they've
seen your act, they go like, huh, I don't want shit on me and then be in.
Also, which is how open life and honest you are, which is like, I think, you know, that's one of the things that I first, when I saw you, I was like, oh, you know, when you just see people and you go, oh, I want to like, I really admire that they do that. And I want to eventually like incorporate that into what I do. Like just how articulate you are about things that are just like, that I'm watching being like, oh, I don't know if I could talk about that. And then I see you doing it, and I'm like, oh, but she made it fucking really work. And so,
well, thank you. That means a lot.
So I think a lot of people that probably have seen you on many platforms probably do pick up on that. And that's, why wouldn't that be a reason to hit the pause button on any sort of forward movement?
Yeah, I wouldn't want a dude to fucking talk about me in any way that he saw fit because it was for humor or whatever.
You would have no control over it.
No control.
I think that's another fear that someone has when they did a comic is like, oh, not only are you telling this joke, but then you could change it.
That's the problem that my ex-boyfriend had, was that I would, I would subtly change things for humor.
For humor.
Exaggerate or...
Exactly.
So I would make him out to look worse or me to look better, or and he would be like, that's not how that story even happened. But when you told it on that podcast, you made it seem like you said the cool thing when really I was the one that said the cool thing. And I go, but it's not funny if you say the cool thing. Like, it doesn't work.
I have to win.
He's like, well, what's the truth then? I'm like, it's all a lie.
My job is to lie.
So I think that is the big thing. It's like you change the story, and then the person's like, that's not really how it went down. And not only are you embarrassing me, but you're changing the story to make you look cooler.
Yeah,
look,
and to make them look worse.
Yes.
And they can't stop it. So
they
can't
defend themselves.
I could totally see how that would
be
totally
why I haven't been matching with people. That is it. That's why it's just...
Have you yourself found... Like, have you dated comics and been in a situation where you're like, oh, shit, I hope he doesn't talk about...
Yeah, I mean, I actually dated a white rapper who wrote a rap song about me that was really, really mean after we broke up. Really mean, and he did it on a show in front of me, and it was the most hurtful experience of my life.
Wow.
Where I
felt
like,
God, talk about it.
Did he warn you?
It's weird for me to talk about because I banned him from talking about it on anything, it was just no.
You said it all. I mean, that is like that's enough.
That's literally what happened.
That's terrible.
He took something that he was like, I didn't even know you were embarrassed about that. And I'm like, well, I'm not until you wrote an entire song about it.
Right.
And he's like, well, you write jokes about guys, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but I know how you fucking write, and you sat down in a little cafe and you spent 3 hours rhyming each word. Like,
something about rhyming, the insults are more insult. Like, if Dr. Seuss fucking had some sort of like spiteful vengeance to take on a friend,
so much more
you'd probably kill yourself because you'd be like, dude, you're clever, you're rhyming, you have a cool hat, you have fucking cat friends that clean your house. Like, this guy's just. So,
it's me writing a joke, I just think of like, I go, oh, that'd be funny to say. That's all the effort that goes into it.
Yeah,
I literally don't even write it down. I maybe write a word on my phone. But
you
him
try it, if it
sitting
works,
there
not,
going
yeah.
like we're going to rhyme dictionary.com.
What rhymes with cunt?
Yes, exactly. Ugh.
Yeah, no, I don't
so
want any part of that.
I was really hurt. And then he asked for my forgiveness, and I was like, I'll forgive you. And then he brought it up on a podcast, and I was like, forgiveness lifted. And so I feel like I'm at a place now where I'm realizing I can only hate one man per my like I only have room to hate one man a lot.
That's healthy.
I hated one guy for 10 years, and that was just lifted because I hate someone else new. And then the rapper guy, I've just always kind of like low grade hated him, but he doesn't take a lot of effort for me to hate. So
what prompted you to limit your amount of people you direct hate towards?
I didn't know that this was a thing, but I hated this guy for 10 years because we fell in love, and he was dating a girl at the time, and he was like, I'm gonna break up with her for you, like this is it. And then he just never did, and broke my heart. And then he was like, I would see him around for 10 years and never spoke to him, was really mean to him, he was scared of me because he ended up like being with the girl that he cheated on with me like for a while. So I couldn't ever be like, I was never vocal about why I hated him. I just iced him everywhere. And then one day after I started hating another guy, I saw that same guy, and I like, we were in a conversation with some people, and usually I'd ignore him, but then I kind of was like, I was like laughing at things he said, and I was like, oh my God, like I don't know why I don't hate you right now. Like, I've hated you so much for 10 years. And I go, it's because I hate this new guy. And he's like, all I can think about. It's like, I'm monogamous with hate, and I am polyamorous with love. I really am. I can only hate one person, but I can love many, many people.
That is, wow. That is that is quite a discovery you've made about yourself.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, I hate this other guy so much that like it's been lifted. I said, we can be friends again, and now we're friends.
Now, do celebrities or politicians, can they count in this hate, or is that just like cartoon hate? That's kind of
cartoon hate. Okay. Yeah, like Trump hate.
Right.
That'd be weird if Trump was the one that was like, now I can be friends with you because I hate our president so much.
Now I'm good.
That makes sense though, almost. Right. You know.
Yeah.
Because, but no, it's just a person in my life that I hate. But you know what? Hate is so equal to love. Like, I only hate this person because I loved them and they hurt me.
Well, I mean, it's that. Circle theory, where if you go so far to love, you'll start to hate someone, and the other way around.
You become obsessed. I like think about them all the time. Like, it's the same thing as love.
Yeah. Now, is it weird that like because you're so open about these things, and you've on your show, Not Safe with Nikki Glaser, you talked about
everything.
I have to unbutton my pants because I am feeling like so bloated. I don't know why. Oh, I just want to be more comfortable.
Do it. Yeah.
Do it.
Okay, but I have to remember before I get up because I often on planes
will
unbutton.
Guess what? Even if you don't, you're fine.
You know what? I'm going to do a trick that my dad would do.
So much more comfortable.
Growing up, and I hate saying that right after a woman unbuttons her pants. But
I'm going to do a trick.
Yeah. When
never a good way to start a sentence if you're talking to any person, especially a woman.
Tell you what. My dad would do when a woman got naked.
If you're not at the magic castle and you say, I'm going to show you a trick, turn around and run the other way. And even if you are at the magic castle, make sure that
turn
person
around,
works there.
Yeah.
Then you're at the magic castle.
Leave. It's not going to be as fun as you think
tricks.
It's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, magic castle's never as fun as you want it to be.
Because like we would come home and then there would be like a chair turned over in the middle of the floor. And we would say like, Dad, why is there a chair turned over in the middle of the floor? You're like, oh, because I left the water on in the pool and I have to remember to turn it off.
Oh my God, that is brilliant.
So yeah, so we would do that, or we would come home and there'd be like a watermelon.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to like almost
it's
damage
fine,
your
no,
equipment.
You're
but
fine.
Now when I go, where are my keys?
Yeah, you'll be like,
and
oh,
go, where are my keys? And then my pants will be, wait, I think I'll probably
wait,
get to that
no,
point
no, I think
the
you're going to forget your keys and walk out of here with like open pants. Brad, I don't follow that at all.
But I love your dad's logic. Yeah. I love
wait,
that.
I don't follow. Wait, what is?
So if you knock over a chair, then you'll go. Then people will start bringing up the chair to you, being like, "Why is this out of place?" You'll also see the chair and go, "Why is that?" And then you'll remember.
Yeah. So you'll go, "Oh, I turned
I'm
over the chair."
The
you definitely will remember the pool. How do you know that your brain is just going to associate chair with pool? Like, if I'm
because
like, I got to remember
so
to make
so
spaghetti
weird.
For the potluck. Let me fucking mow the lawn and brush my teeth with fucking peanut butter.
Well, I think it's a. I think I totally get it, and I
it's
think
so weird.
It'll work for you.
Yeah,
really.
So,
try it.
So we would come home sometimes, and there would be like a watermelon in the middle of the floor. And our friends would be like, why is there? And I go, our dad's, my dad.
He's watering the pool.
Yeah. He needs to do something.
That's so
he's
funny.
He's like, oh, he left the gas on.
That
that's
is my
why.
That's going to be, I'm going to talk about that all the time now. That is such a helpful tool because I'm always trying to remember things and create little devices
and
to remember.
And like you write things down on your phone. You're like, maybe I'll text it to myself. But then it just gets lost in every other email and text that
you
get.
You seem very organized. I don't know if you always have been or... And even like when you've done some little videos in St. Louis with your folks, I'm like, oh, they seem like really together, fun people that are like, have like prepped you properly. Like, because you seem very put together.
I am not put together
Well, it's all relative, I guess,
isn't
but you seem like you
see,
are.
I walk in here and I'm like, whoa, I need to get my fucking life together. I need to get lit up frames and other things that light up and frame things and just frames. I think
yeah,
it's
but you also walked into a single man's apartment
basically,
in his 30s. So like,
oh,
this
yeah,
is
like
what
this
is like,
this?
Yeah. You know, what am
basically,
I doing?
Nikki, it sounds
but
like
it worked. I
yeah,
was like,
you.
Wow, this guy has his shit together. So what are you doing later? Like, it really is impressive to me. And you look like John Hamm in that picture.
Oh my
God.
I'll
basically, Nikki, it sounds like Aaron Brothers could fix all your problems. Like, just hilarious. Like,
what's
just
Aaron Brothers?
Framing.
Oh, you're right. I need frames.
Somebody's married.
That's me. Yeah. I know what Aaron Brothers is.
Let
me tell you about my adventures in the container store. Oh, it was a good
have
time.
You been?
Oh, it was a good time.
It probably is a great time.
Bed, Bath & Beyond, that Beyond section, let me tell you.
Oh, my God.
Woo!
Yeah, it's really just more towels. But so,
I need to go to an orgy.
I am curious, though. With people successful like yourself, what is your organization? Do you have a process? Did you fall into this? Did you like look at people above you and you were like, hey, what do you do? Like, once you got your show, for example.
Give me an example of like how
all right, so you get your
I
show.
Look organized.
Well, like, I don't know if you're a vision board person or you are.
No.
Okay.
I'm just going, I've heard of that.
Writing, like for...
I know one thing about your vision board. It's framed.
Hilarious. Prepping your hour special. Like how, like, what was your... I mean, was there a process? Did you just kind of go,
no,
I'm
going to
set a goal.
One,
I'm going to do 10 minutes a month. Like what was,
no. You know what it all comes down to is like, I know that I'm, okay. So let's say if I was taping an hour special I could probably do one at this point in February.
Dope.
So if I was doing one in February.
Now, why do you say that?
Because just where my act is right now, I feel like, if I had 3 months to
and how
like,
many shows you're doing and how much more time you
feel
like you need.
Yeah. And like just that 3 months, I think I could get a new, I think 3 months away would be good because I feel like I have a new like 40 minutes right now and I want to just make it strong and then get a new 20.
Yeah.
So like, let's say if I did but in February, I would say by, if, like say I was taping February 1st, I think January 22nd, I would maybe write a set list out and then just kind of go and then try it out and try pieces of it. But it really would come down to me just kind of throwing it together at the last minute. It's always last minute, but it's always like I'm a B student when I stay up all night and write a paper. And that's like I'm a B celebrity and I stay up all night and write the paper the night before.
Wow.
I always just do everything last minute.
Because your jokes seem so well thought out and so well, like,
do you write a lot
organized?
On stage?
All on stage.
Yeah,
really?
And if I say something, like, here that's funny, like, I'll write down a word or something on my phone. But it's all in my phone, one word, never written
out. You tape your sets?
Out.
Like, do you go back and do...
I've taped every single set, and I've literally listened to never not
but
one
But do you
set.
Think you just, like, subconsciously remember yeah. the stuff that you feel like you're supposed
yes.
to remember? And
yes.
And almost, like, even going to your phone and starting to pull up the memo, you're like, oh, no, I think I remember what it was.
Yes.
And
yes.
if I listen to it, maybe it won't be what I'm thinking, and I kind of want to ride that train.
That's the thing. Yeah. That is the thing, is that you always think when you're on stage, because sometimes I bring out an opener on the road, and I'll be like, Tom, write that down. Like, I just said something funny. Like, the other night I was on stage, and I was talking about men on Bumble, and I was talking about their profiles and how... I was doing a whole bit about how men, they'll have a picture of with a kid, but they'll want you to know it's not my kid. Like, it's my niece. It's my godson. It's my victim. Like, and I just said the word victim, and I was like, oh, that's funny. And I was like, Tom, write that down. And so he just sent me the word victim later. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was funny. But I probably would have remembered it anyway. And just like, because that was such a, I was just so like tickled by it myself that I was like, I'll probably remember that.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a lot of just, I've lost so much stuff from not doing what I need to do.
Why don't you do these? But you just, I think we just
because I've gotten by without it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's good enough.
And it's hard when you've had some.
And I'm scared of success.
Sure.
You know
well,
what?
I mean, you've got it, so I don't know what you're.
But like real success? I mean, like really, like
Gwyneth
I think
Paltrow,
just,
I can't walk down the street.
I mean, like, that's another thing that I would like to maybe say to myself, that's why I'm not that successful, is because I'm scared of that and I don't want that. But I mean, is that really the case? But I think that there are these things, like, I know that I have a hit show in me and a movie that I could write, and I have all these ideas. I am capable of doing all of them. If the people that write books that you see write, like girls who write books, mm-hmm. like you're just like, you've never said anything funny in your life. You have nothing interesting. You wrote a book. I know I can write a book. I haven't written a book. I try to sit down and do it and I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I'm scared of.
Let's do
of.
It after this podcast.
Let's write a fucking book. Like, part of me is like,
about
maybe
shitting.
I'll write a children's book.
Yeah.
I think that's the new thing.
You would
I think
show
that,
range.
I want to write a children's book.
Not Safe with Nikki Glaser to, I have
I think that's the next
book.
Step. Because I think it actually is the most globally conscious thing to do, is to write a children's book, because they are the future and you need to get in. Or I want to teach kids about like being nice to animals. That's
you
that's
you
I
are
think the,
super big on that, and I love that.
Yeah, and I think that you got to start at an early age. If kids are like taught to be mean,
there's a lot
animals,
to take from that you can apply to the rest of life, right?
Yes.
Like the way you are to...
An animal.
Yeah.
Well, because the... animal is essentially helpless.
Yes,
so,
and if you teach kids that animals have souls, and like then you might teach them to be vegan, like
maybe
down
think
the
people
line,
have souls
just,
and they won't become serial killers.
Well,
I don't
know. Now, that's always the thing, is like if a small kid is torturing animals, it's like, oh, that's a serial killer.
Yes, exactly. Well,
so
you can't really prevent that. There's no children's book that's going to get stop a serial
killer. Like,
don't
you could
torture
say,
the rabbit.
that's my book.
Don't torture the rabbit.
Don't torture the rabbit.
I mean, yeah.
It's just simple.
Do insects fall into that world?
No, not really. I was thinking about it today, and I was like, could a centipede be cute? And it just couldn't.
When I see people like save moths or spiders, I'm just there's a couple screws hooked on a little too tight. Spiders,
well,
really?
Do it, because they kill other insects that help.
Maybe
the world
I've just had a couple
place.
Real bad instances with spiders.
No, I think that you have a vendetta, and that's true.
He saw the movie Eight-Legged Freaks with David Arquette.
I did see Arachnophobia when I was like 9. My dad took my sister and I, and she still hates him for it.
Yeah, that'll
she's scarred from it.
See, that's a bad thing to show kids, because that teaches kids kill all the spiders that you can, and they're worthless, and they don't contribute to the world.
Yeah, and
they're very important.
Now, you talked about earlier your ex being a rapper and having the and writing the song about you. So was doing a rap battle against me kind of cathartic?
It was. It really was. I went to some mean places in my heart, but like it was It was so fun that we did that a rap blast. Battle.
Yeah, we are going to be on a future episode of TBS's show Drop the Mic.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Hosted by Method Man,
mm-hmm.
by the way. And
you forget how much you love Method Man until you see him on TV hosting something as cool as what this show sounds like.
I mean, this show is actually cool. Like, they do a really good job of it. When I got the offer, I was like, oh my God. And I had just gotten done kind of yelling at my agents about, like, put me on TV. I don't care in what way. It just matters to be on TV. I'm realizing like, people just need to see your fucking face.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had just sent them that kind of email, and then they were like, there's Drop the Mic. And I'm like, I cannot fucking rap battle. I'm a white girl. This is so humiliating.
Right.
But then I watched the clip of Usher and Anthony Anderson doing it, and I was like, I could be as good as Usher. Usher wasn't that great. And I'm like, it's Usher.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, if I can be, I can at least do as good a job as him, and and we'll be fine.
Well, and then
the bar is so low for us.
Yeah, and even lower for Brad.
Yeah.
So
the thing about the rap battle is that they're jokes.
Yeah.
They're insults. Yes.
So that's your world.
Yeah. So it's like, and you've done you've done a roast before.
Yeah. It's
so it's along those lines
with rhyme.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told when they got asked to do it, I was like, I can't wait to be called a horse face in rhyme, and it's essentially exactly what happened.
I mean,
because if you
the rhyme was right
how
there.
How dare you?
No, as a woman, if you're not fat, you get called a horse face. Like that's the thing. Like, otherwise they would make fun of your fat face. But like, if you're a thinner, like, or just a regular woman, you get called horse face. Like, there's certain things, like easy things you go
certain
to.
Certain go-tos.
Yeah, because there's not a lot to say about me. Like, people don't know who I am. You have to just go off of, like, looks. So
yeah, well,
I expected that.
It's definitely like a snap judgment thing. I know that when I was writing things about you, it's like, I didn't want to do the lazy thing of just be like, you're a whore.
Because
it's like, that's what every guy does when he insults
a
woman.
When I did the Comedy Central roast, whore, who knows, no one knows who she is, horse face. That's like
how easy were those to take? You're just like, okay.
Yeah, it was fine. Like, I don't care, like, because I just, there's a couple things that you could like maybe say that would sting, and I'd be like, oh, you see that? But like, you wouldn't go there.
Was it easier to take roast jokes or rap battle jokes?
Rap battle, because first of all, Brad's my friend. It's in rhyme, so it's like, oh, he had to do that for the rhyme.
Yeah.
You know, like, you kind of convince yourself to say
also,
that.
Also, I just think the whole atmosphere.
Cunt? Yeah, I'm bringing that line back.
Exactly.
That whole atmosphere is just more lighthearted, I'm going to assume, right?
Yes.
Like, when Haley Baldwin is staring at you going like, okay.
Yeah.
Throw your insults. You're like, all right, this isn't like.
There's no.
Yeah, like when you
were. There's nothing real behind this.
When you were insulting Ann Coulter on the roast.
That was real.
And we'll get back to that. That, you could tell, like, oh, Nikki means this shit.
Yeah, like, I hate her, and I was scared of her because she's, like, so crazy and mean, but, like, I you really hate her.
Well, another summer behind us, huh, Brad?
Yeah, summer's gone, but you know what? It's still hot outside.
Yeah, it's hot as balls. Global warming. Global warming is a real thing.
Thanks, Dr. Phil.
That's Al Gore, but they sound similar. You know, it is super hot, but it's also, that sweat, it just won't quit. You're sweating everywhere. Well, fortunately, Al Gore, there's one company out there that's putting an end to sticky situations once and for all. Their name? Tommy John. Tommy John is a 21st century men's underwear brand that I and Brad have switched to, and I'll tell you, we're glad we did. Each pair is crafted from ultra-light, breathable fabrics, okay? You don't think about the fabrics of your underwear until that shit's riding up on you and making it uncomfortable to maneuver around with your dick and balls, okay? You want comfortable fabrics and that are with you and not against you.
And this is exactly what Tommy John has. Comfortable fabrics, breathable fabrics. That means no riding up, ever. That means it's impossible to get a wedgie. You could go and see every bully that had you in elementary school. They could grab your underwear, yank it. No wedgie.
Just
all that would
wedgie.
Happen is they would grab it and they would look at you and go, wow, what is this soft fabric I'm feeling in my hands right now?
It's Tommy John, and it's even pioneered with time-saving horizontal quick draw flies Talk about a fucking game changer.
Your dick gets out so quick.
They really thought of everything to help dudes feel more comfortable. From the world's most innovative underwear to socks that stay up all day and patented undershirts that never, I repeat, never, they never come untucked. There are all sorts of exciting things going on at Tommy John. And they also just opened up the first ever Tommy John store, which is huge because you're still going outdoors. You may be going to the mall, okay? At the King of Prussia Mall and a pop-up store at Macy's Herald Square, all right? So if you can't get online, go into the store, get yourself a Jamba Juice as well. They are not a sponsor of this podcast, but we say them every now and then because we want them to be. Sure. And don't forget, all Tommy John underwear is backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. The best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. So what have you got to lose? Nothing is the answer to that fucking question. Change out of that ridiculous, ill-fitting multi-pack underwear and into Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/ALN to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/ALN for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/ALN. Brad, what is it one more time?
I believe that's TommyJohn.com/ALN.
And now back to the episode.
Yeah.
If roasting people you really hate is... It's almost not as fun, though, because it's like you...
You do feel some remorse after, or it's too real.
It's too real, and you don't even want to be funny. You just want to be like, you're a fucking awful person. Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah. Like, I kind of wanted to break into that kind of thing. Because jokes,
she can brush off, but a real, like, dagger to the heart.
Because I'm making fun of David Spade the same way I'm making fun of Ann Coulter. It's like, this isn't a level playing
field. Well, they're both attractive blonde women.
That's true.
Nice. Sign Brad up for the next roast.
And I just love that when I found out that I was rap battling you, immediately we essentially sent each other the same text, which was like, hey, gonna write some shit, don't mean it.
Yeah. Like, I would never, there's nothing you could say on one of those things that I'd be like, oh, Brad, like, I'm not talking to you again. Like, it's just all for comedy.
Was the rap aspect for both you guys, because we've all done the goddamn Comedy Jam a bunch, which I love. We all love it.
Love
my favorite show on planet Earth. And I think the same way comedians will be rock stars will be comedians. Does that, is that the same with rap? Like, did you find yourself getting into it like more than you thought you would?
Liked a couple more days, because I think I could have done an even better job. Like, I think we both have natural abilities at it and we're good performers. And so given a couple more days to practice rapping, I think we could have done an even better job. But I was really impressed with how we did. We were both good.
Yeah. And the staff there seemed to be like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. You guys were like,
because we tried. They had these celebrities on who weren't trying, because they had fucking Liam Payne. Oh, I don't think we can drop that name yet. Maybe not. But they had
Liam Neeson. Yeah.
Liam Neeson
was on it. Yeah.
They had
Danny Glover.
A-list celebrities.
Yeah.
Like, huge names on this show, and then us to fill out. And so we actually tried, whereas they just were given the script and the writers on the show were funny, but like, unless you were actually took the script that they gave and actually put your own spin on it and really, we were practicing on the lot beforehand.
We
I mean, all of that shows when you see it.
Yeah. We actually, like, cause Rob Gronkowski, his episode has already aired, so we could talk about that one. Like, he no matter what, he's gonna make his money with the Patriots. So it's like, oh, he doesn't need that.
We need
for us.
This.
It's like we all I got to open
up a good showing,
huge fan base, and then get more fans, and then that. This will lead to another
thing. And guess what? I'm not busy enough to not put in the work that day. You know, like, I wasn't like, he probably has a lot on his mind. I didn't. I was like, you can't just like sit. The resources were there for us to practice, and so we did, and that's why ours was so good.
You have to, I mean, I think that's just like for a lot of aspects of this business, but you have to go out of your way to like put your own, you put your voice on it. Like, what did you put all the work in to find your own point of view to not, my buddy Joey McIntyre also did the show against Joey Fatone, and he was saying what you guys just did about how he's like, he got the, you know, he had some funny stuff from what the writers gave him, but then there's some that were just like, kind of generic, like bad jokes or something. And he was like, he's like, I don't want to do that. And he's like, there's more specific personal shit that, like, this is a friend of mine too, like, that we can do that's more.
Always. I always say to comedians, if you're ever doing like these game shows, like an At Midnight type show, or there's one on True TV.
Comedy Knockout.
We just did always.
Yeah, you've done
always
it, right?
Write your own shit, and also hire people from your life who you know are funny and can write for you.
Dude,
give them $100. You know how much I would want to make $100 doing a writing gig?
Oh yeah.
And then maybe see my jokes that my friend is gonna say. Yeah, always hire your friends. Like, it's.
Oh, Brad came with me on both my At Midnight things to just help me write jokes, because it was like, oh, you know my voice. You're also like
to
a great.
Reach out and ask for help, because we're such lone wolves most of the time that like it's ridiculous to try to do it all on our own.
Yeah.
especially when we're getting the material for the show that we're taping at 5 at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which is what we did.
You're not a super. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And it's a lot.
Even
to go
even Chelsea, you gave me a joke when I was literally flying back from New York. It might have even been for right after the Heat premiere or something. And I got back and I was like, I literally had like an hour and a half. And I was like, Brad, you got to help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if he didn't do that, I would have like, I mean, I was just so sleep deprived. It's like, you just have to.
Oh, yeah. I've.
Reach out. It's fine. It's fine
and
to
it's
reach
nice
out.
It's nice
to
be able to give money to your. Like,
yes.
I have a lot of like really funny friends who aren't making money doing comedy yet. And
which
it's so
sucks.
Nice to be able to
and
pay
you,
them.
Yeah, you want them.
I used to be that. I wrote jokes for Amy for the roast.
For real?
And it was like the greatest. It's still one of my greatest accomplishments, like seeing my jokes on the fucking.
She did
Charlie
a lot
King
of them?
Roast. She did a couple of them, and they got a lot of.
Which
good
ones?
Stuff. I don't think she would mind if I said, but I wrote the Steve-O joke that she got a lot of heat for.
The Ryan Dunn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It wasn't even that great of a joke, and she even admits that it's not that great of a joke, but it like she's like,
Nikki,
you got me death threats. I mean, that was the big most... That
was hugely publicized.
Yeah, because that was like a week or two after Ryan Dunn
died. And it wasn't about him. It
was
about, I'm so sorry what happened to your friend Ryan Dunn. I bet when you heard that, you were thinking, oh my God, that could have been me, and we were all like, oh, why wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was it. It was just about, we want Steve-O to die.
Right. Instead of this other guy.
That shows you how sensitive, just like
and
jokes about
editing.
Death.
The editing. They cut to Steve-O's face and he just was like, he looked like he was high. He was high. Yeah. He looked confused and like sad.
He probably
he also just
heard it strung up feelings of his buddy died. Like, so he's responding to that.
Yes.
He's not even hearing the joke probably.
Yeah. Right. I have no problem joking about death.
Now, when you're writing for somebody like that, how much do you confer with her? Or are you just like, hey, I'm going to give you
a
bunch.
Bunch of jokes.
And pick.
Yeah, and pick.
Cool.
And people did the same for me. Like I had some of my best jokes and it's always stings when like people are like, I loved that joke and you're like, oh, I didn't write that one, but thank you.
But yeah, but you had to deliver it. That
is,
you can't sleep on that. You
like
can't.
Mike Racine, a comic in New York, wrote where I called Jewel Trailer Swift, and I think that's one of
funny.
The funniest.
So
things. Like
so
just
simple,
so right there, so simple, but like
so
no
good.
One else had come up with it. But to call someone Trailer Swift.
Speaking of Trailer Swift, you did crush that at the last jam.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I was like, I'd never heard you sing before. That's also what I love about the show. You're just like. You just don't know how much of this skill set this person has.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God. Like you
thanks.
You rock it.
I really feel it. Her songs I relate to on like such a deep level. Like every single one of her songs I can attribute to one guy in my life. And like if I'm going through something with them, I'll fucking run and sing it and be like, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. Like it's just I just she has written a song about every dude that I've ever dated. And I've just like I recently picked up guitar because I like want to be able to like play it and feel it and like in my living room alone.
Yeah.
Just like singing these songs to these guys that don't know I'm singing to
them. That's how the phrase started.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nobody knows how the phrase started. So I was waiting for both of you just to be like, I know. Yeah. So, yeah. But when I was 10, you know, just go along with it. Who's questioning a Frey origin story?
That's how the phrase started. They just wanted to sing a Taylor Swift song about a girl that they liked
by themselves in their apartment. I do want to know, though, because one of my favorite clubs in the country is your home club, St. Louis Funny Bone.
Yes. Oh my God, you like it there.
I've been there like 6 times.
Oh my God, good.
And I love the whole staff. Like they're I mean, I hang out with them all the time.
Do you know
when
Sean O'Brien?
Yes, very well.
Oh my God, he is he's my like best friend.
An amazing dude. And he's probably listening to this because he's a fan of the podcast.
God damn it. Yeah.
I don't fucking know. I gave you a ride.
You can't really mention my name. It was sweet and everything.
Sweet, like, I don't know. But you know, I'm gonna come out there in February and March, in December. I don't know. I'll be at there, but we can hang out if
and
you
don't have to hang out with me.
I'm gonna go with Nikki to it, but
she's busy. He is the
sweet.
So sweet. Everyone in, he's from Rochester, though.
But
he's
Patty
sweet.
And...
Patty and Matt and...
Yes.
Yes.
It's a great... And they've been there... I mean, it really
forever.
Is a... I mean, there's a reality show waiting to happen on that situation.
Yes.
But the room is so... First time I did it, it was right after the Cardinals, I think, got out the weekend before, right? From the NLCS.
Oh, that's a good time to go.
And because everyone said, oh, if they were still in it, nobody would be
there.
No
one would be there.
And that to me was already just like, well, thank God, it's like selfishly, but also that's crazy. I didn't realize how crazy baseball was in that city.
Yeah, similar thing if like you're going to the Pittsburgh Improv and the Steelers are winning. It's nope.
Right.
Just don't even.
But then everybody comes out and it was the shows were full and I'm just starting. It was maybe like 2-3 years in the headlines. So I'm not like the reason that everyone's there yet. And
but that's a fun
and I'm like,
room when you just are starting out headlining and you're nobody and people still come out.
Oh, and they were so, And then they have that bar with the karaoke next door. I mean,
oh,
it was...
it's so fun.
Yeah. So how... when did you start going there?
I started going there when I was 19.
Wow.
Like, I was... because I first did my first stand-up set, like, my freshman year of college. I went to University of Colorado for my freshman year, and I did one set there. And then when I went back for the summer off, I went to, like, their open mic just to see it with my dad brought me, and we just sat at a table, and I saw... do you know Andy Woodhull?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him do his very first set ever that night.
Wow.
Like, at that open mic. And I remember
Andy's featured for me before. He's a funny guy.
He's so funny. Yeah. And so he always is like, you were the first person to ever compliment me. I remember this girl came up to me and was like, I really liked your joke. He had a joke about how the next Civil War is going to be over whether we call it pop or soda. And I was like, that's a funny premise.
Yeah.
And so I gave him credit for it afterwards, and he was like, I'll never forget that. Like, kept me going. And I'm like, oh, I totally know that one compliment that, like, you're like,
right?
Oh, someone thought I was funny.
And it's so weird because you think, like, oh, I just told you that because, like, hey, that was funny.
Yeah, but it means, like, something.
That means so much.
So yeah, I started taking the comedy class there and met a bunch of the local comics through that and became friends with them, and then just started doing open mics, and that's where I was every summer. And then I went to school in Kansas and started doing it in Kansas City.
Wow.
Was it like
during school year, but
was
then.
It something when you started where you thought to yourself, like, oh, this is a fun hobby? Or from day one, you're like,
day one,
this is it.
I got off stage that first set and called my dad crying, saying, I know what I want to do with my life. Like, it was like really
crying?
Like crying, like,
because you were so happy.
Well, I was really sick. I was anorexic, and so I wanted to die. Like,
oh,
for
my God.
And I was like very, very ill, and I shouldn't have gone to school, and I was like on death's door, like, wow. But my whole family was kind of in denial of it, so like no one was really looking out. I just wanted to die, because when you're that hungry and but you can't eat, because it literally
you can't
like,
eat.
You can't,
because you've tricked your stomach into just
no.
Not
it's
wanting
just
food,
like,
or...
you can't, like, I can't describe it, but it's like food is like poison. Like, it feels like if I were to eat this or drink this, like, I want to just kill myself. Like, you just can't do it.
Wow.
You can't do it.
Wow.
And so there's just no way to describe it to people, but I've realized now, like, being anorexic is like, I have to treat it the same as like having cancer. Like, it really was like something that just came into my life, took over my life, tried to kill me, and I beat it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I really was, I was crying because I finally found, like, oh, there's something I want to live for. There's something, I'm good at this. I knew I was good at it. I was like, oh, this is, I want to live. And so,
oh,
like, that
God.
Was got what got me to, like, start eating again.
That's
Isn't
fucking,
that fucking nuts?
Crazy.
I know.
The thing that everyone in this country almost is scared out of their mind to do. You did it. It was like, this is my purpose for living.
Yeah, I was just like, I know what I want to do with my life. Like, I know, like, because I wanted to be an actress, but I wasn't that good at acting, and I knew that to become good, you had to, like, really work at it, and I just didn't have the drive to work at it. But comedy, I was like, I want to do this all the time. I don't care what it takes.
That's an amazing, like, mindset then going to it, because, I mean, none of us really knew. Maybe subconsciously, you're just like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of work involved, but you're so gung-ho for it that you don't really think.
It doesn't matter.
But after, once you, I mean, you were so at the bottom, and then to find it, so that's a great, not that you want to be feeling like that to then realize you want to do it,
But
that just gave you such an extra boost of like, oh, there's nothing's going to stop me.
Because I remember before that, I was like, because I thought that if I don't die from like starvation, I'll probably kill myself, because I don't want to be a mother. I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to be any of these things that are just like there for me because I'm good at English or whatever. Like, I remember everyone being like, well, you don't have to be an actress. You could like write for TV. And I'm like, I want to be on camera, and I suck.
Credit,
I'm bad at auditions. I don't get roles. I don't know what's wrong. Like, I can't. I'm not good at act. I'm good at it, but I'm not just a natural. And I felt like comedy, I was like, oh, I'm a fucking natural. Like, it just felt like finally the pieces fell into place, and I was like, okay, there's a reason that I should like keep living and like start eating and like trying to be alive.
What was the first thing you started like munching on again? Because that's crazy. If it's, I mean, like,
well, I mean, it wasn't like that easy. But it was very gradual.
Yeah.
And it was also like a lot of, because I was anorexic. I got anorexic like when I was a senior in high school. I had a lot of shit happen. Like, a friend of mine killed himself, and then also just going away to school, you start panicking. A boy that I liked forever started liking me, and I got like nervous about it. And so I just one day was like, oh my God, I'm gonna go on a date with Mike. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I like didn't eat because I was just nervous.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, the weight fell off me. Like, I wasn't fat, but I was just like had some weight on me. And I remember the next day people were like, you look great. And I was like, oh I just didn't eat yesterday. I'll just like keep doing that.
That's
and
like,
then boom.
That's sort of like the opposite effect we were talking about earlier, where someone compliments you and that keeps you going and that inspires you. That's a compliment that took it in the insane wrong direction.
Yeah, it really, and I really was like, that's how quickly it showed up on me, because I went from being like a stocky lady to like Holocaust victim within a month and a half. Like, I mean, it was drastic. And then I was hospitalized. I was like, it was really, really messy and really bad. And it lasted for years. I mean, like, I say that I was like, oh, I decided to start eating that day, but it took to like gain weight when you're anorexic is so difficult.
Well, because then your body is training to not have it. So I would think almost introducing food, you'd almost like just throw it up.
And you're scared of being fat. Like, you're just so scared of that feeling of feeling fat. Like, I was just like, I remember just being like, if I eat this, am I going to like feel it on me? Like, because I remember I used to be able to. This is so crazy, but I remember lying in my bed in my freshman year of college in my bunk bed, like on the top bunk, and I remember I could lock my middle finger and my thumb around my arm, around like this tiniest part of my upper arm, and I was like, if you ever can't do that, you're a fucking loser and you deserve, like, I remember that's how you talk to yourself.
That's like thigh gap to an extreme.
I was freezing all the time. I mean my hair was falling out. It was a terrible existence. Like, and you're not like, wow, I look so thin and hot. I mean, I was hot for like a week, and then I got scared.
Yeah. And no one around you, I mean, is everyone just like too afraid to speak up?
Everyone around me was like, what the fuck? But and they all went to like teachers and stuff my senior year, and like, so I got pulled out of class, and they were like, we think you're anorexic, and I was like, I'm on a fucking diet, you're just jealous. Like, and my parents were very in denial. They didn't want to admit that their daughter had an eating disorder, so they were just like, they never brought it up to me either. So I was just like quietly dying. And then I went for a physical to go to school freshman year. You have to like go get a physical. I was going away to school, and this was like in July. I went for and I started being anorexic in March. July, I went for a physical, and they were like, your pulse is so low, we can't let you leave. You're going to die. Like, we know on paper that you're on death's door, and so if we let you leave, we're liable, so you can't leave, we're admitting you to a psych ward. And my mom was like, no, you're not. And they're like, she's like, we have to, like, there's, you don't have an option here. And I just remember them like being like, we're going to get a golf cart, because it was like a different part of the campus, on the hospital's campus. And so I had to stay in a psych ward for a week the teen ward was full, so I had to stay with like elderly patients in a psych ward that were like shitting on themselves and throwing stuff.
Yeah,
and
I was gonna say, like,
bleeding
that.
Everywhere. It was awful. Yeah. I was on a lot of meds, so I think I blacked out most of it, but like, it was now, and then I just lied about eating so I could get out of there.
Do you I
gained just enough weight to
look
be
at
like
that, like, well, I'm not crazy like them.
I knew I was crazy, but I just wanted to die. Like, I didn't want to eat because I was like, okay, I don't want to be fat. I don't, or like whatever it means to eat. I don't want to do that. And I also don't want to like keep starving, because it's hell. Because all you think about is food. You just want to lay in bed and think about food and watch the Food Network and like look at pictures of food. Like, that's all you want to do. And I had no energy. And so it was just like, either way, I just wanted to die. And so like, it was really just like, it fucking sucked.
I'm very glad now that you're in an industry that
doesn't
objectify women on their weight. So I feel like you can stay healthy, because no one's ever gonna be like, oh my god,
so fucked up,
Nikki Glaser fat. Like, no one's ever gonna say that ever
again.
So you're fine.
I go through time, like, my weight my still will fluctuate, because it's like, you like, but it's always because it's like, oh, I'm busy or something, and I'm just like, oh, it's just kind of falling off me because I'm like nervous about something that's coming up. Like, when I get nervous, I can't eat, you know, and like, or I'll be, you know, exercising too much or something. Like, it goes up and down, and it will like the rest of my life. But yeah, it fucking sucks being in this industry. And I feel like I'm in a mad rush as a woman to get to a point where I like myself no matter what I look like, because it's going downhill. As a woman, you're going downhill. It's looks wise. It's just, when men don't want to fuck you, your stock plummets. It just sucks. And I'm just trying to be, I'm like in therapy and working on myself so that I like myself enough that when I hit that level of like, no one wants to fuck you, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I want to fuck me. And then I'm okay.
That's a healthy
attitude. But every
attitude.
Woman should be working on themselves while they're still fuckable, to plan for when they're not.
That's a great name of a memoir, by the way, of somebody who I want to fuck me, like, of just like some sort of like a self, like, fucking you, like, it.
Well, that brings me to porn. I don't know how much time we have. Are we out of time?
We're about 15, 20 left. Is that cool?
Well, I want to fuck me. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so I just quit Zoloft too. So I've been on antidepressants since I was in that hospital.
Like, by the way, real quick, this is all fascinating.
We have to do an ad for
hilarious.
Earth frame, safe
space, or frame. Yeah, frame space. No, Aaron hilarious. Brothers. That would be so fucked up. Oh. But I first of all, so glad that you got through all that.
Thank you.
Without it goes without saying. And that's really incredible how candid you can talk about it.
And being bulimic, I was also bulimic for a while. I don't have a gag reflex anymore.
So there's a positive.
So it worked out. So yeah.
You hear that, fellas on Bumble? Time to swipe left. No. Did you talk about that in your act, or is this
not really? Yeah. Like, it's just like not. People get so uncomfortable with the word anorexic, and I'm still like, I think even when I say it, it's fraught with like so much pain in my life.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stigmas that people don't necessarily understand, because for someone that hasn't been anorexic, for someone who's outside of that world, we just look at anorexic and go, just fucking eat. How do you not want to eat? It's eating is great.
And I even say, I'll see girls that are anorexic because I can sniff it out a mile away. Like, I can see, and not just like, I instantly know if someone has eating issues, which is, by the way, everyone.
Sure.
Literally everyone.
Sure.
Most men now as well. Mm-hmm. But I even have those impulses sometimes when I see a girl who's super skinny that I'm just like, just fucking eat. And I'm like, how do you even, like, because it is such a weird thing to understand. And it seems so vain, but it's not about wanting to be skinny at all. It's just wanting to either disappear or have control.
Wow. Yeah, and I guess it's kind of similar to when someone might be in an abusive relationship. Like, when you're from the outside,
yes, you're like, just leave.
And you're like, it's not that easy.
It's because I hate myself.
Yeah,
it literally is just low self-esteem.
And I'm glad that you talk about it, because one of the things that when people go through these types of situations, they always feel so alone. So
yes.
I want you to talk about it, because I want people to hear your story and be like, oh my god, Nikki Glaser went through that. And then maybe they can hit you up on social media, and maybe they can talk to you, and maybe you know?
I'll just write, eat something, you dumb whore, in all caps. No, it sucks. And it's just like diets, and I still think about every piece of food. I add up my calories in my head. It will never escape me. I'll always know it, but I also don't want to die.
Yeah.
So like I'm always like, oh, like today I'm having a fat day. I just feel fat. There's nothing you could say that would make me not feel fat, and I'm not fat today. I'm the same as I was yesterday, and yesterday was a skinny day. It doesn't matter. It's just how I'm feeling about, because my therapist has now taught me, or an old therapist I saw who ended up being a psycho, but she taught me, I got little pieces of wisdom from her that you take, and you're like, oh, okay. She goes, when you're having a day where you're like, I feel fat, it's, she goes, you're depressed. There's something else going on, because it's never about how, like, your body, like, I'm just depressed today. And that's the truth.
Like, yeah, I woke up today. It's not I'm fat thing, because you're looking the same as you did yesterday.
That's just the only thing I can control, because I can just choose not to eat today, or I can choose to work out super hard or whatever. That's where I go, because I can control it. I can't control being depressed. It's like chemicals and stuff that I don't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like eating and exercising are the one things that you can control. And I think that's why a lot of people go to that.
And your
that's why I do it.
And your porn searches.
And my porn searches.
Yeah, which what are they?
Oh my god!
Let's
let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I didn't start. I never masturbated my entire life until like 3 months ago.
I was a late bloomer. Well, that's real late. But I was. Yeah.
Because I was on Zoloft until 3 months ago. And
you
so
can't, or you're not supposed to, or you don't want to.
That'd be so funny if you're not supposed to. Don't operate heavy machinery. So I guess that means
AKA,
my clit.
Yeah. You know what? Oh, God.
I should write that down.
That's really fun.
I'm writing it down right
now.
Thank
you. Thank you, Brad. Yeah, it really is like...
It just takes away your desire to do it?
I didn't realize it, because I was a late bloomer anyway, so I wasn't into boys until like... I mean, I liked boys, but I never was like, I want to get fucked or whatever.
Please tell me like there was a little bit of buildup. It wasn't just like, I like boys, anal. Like, was it just...
No, it was okay. It was a buildup for sure. Yeah. Anal, like, is... Yeah, that's a...
It takes some time.
Brad
and I just had our first conversation about it. Like, we just did one with just us about our feelings about it.
Because we realized neither of us have done it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
that's the thing. I was just talking to some guy who I could tell was like, maybe we were thinking about hooking up, and he knows that I'm into anal or whatever, that I have been. And I he was like, yeah, I just like, I don't know. It just like isn't something that I really want, I've ever wanted to do, but I could be into it. And I go, that is the last thing I want from a guy doing anal with. I like to be like cool. The only way it's hot is if the guy is like obsessed golf. With
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guy like has to want to fucking defile you, because it is like when you're, the reason I like it is because it's like, what kind of fucking whore am I? Like, I just feel like I like to be told what a whore I am. Wow. And like how disgusting I am. Sure. And how like it's it. I like to be like degraded in bed sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes.
Yeah.
And so anal goes along with that, because it's just like, you're such a stupid slut to yeah. let me fuck you in the ass. Like, what kind of whore does that? And I'm like, I'm such a whore. It's so fun. So to have a guy be like, I don't know, I could take it either way. I'm like, no, you have to want it so bad.
No, 1 foot in, 1 foot out of the anal
pool. It has to be almost
you can fit a whole foot in there?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm getting there.
1 foot in, 1 foot out? My God.
So you started to preface as soon as I said like your categories.
So I started masturbating 3 months ago.
Congrats.
Because I got off Zoloft, thank you. And I was like, oh my God, I need to like, before masturbation always, I knew that I wanted to be able to do it, and I wanted to do it, and like, I love sex. So I'm like, why don't I masturbate? But I'd always, I was never just sitting there feeling like, oh, I should masturbate. It never occurred to me to do, ever. But now it occurs to me to do constantly. Like, it's all I want to do.
You have a stutter because your vibrator's up there.
Yeah, like, I have one in me right now. Sorry, oh, it just turned on.
It's
the greatest.
Do you feel like now, like, because there's some times now when I'll try a food that I didn't like or I was avoiding, and I'll just be like, oh my God, where was this food my whole
life?
And now I feel like I have to double time and eat it more to make up for all.
I have a whole bit about like, I'm a 12-year-old boy right now.
So you're just masturbating like you.
Yeah. Like, you know how boys go like, I did it till I bled. I did that the other night. It was my period, but it still counts. That's a joke of mine. write it down. Yeah. No,
wait, so what, and when you're discovering this new hobby, whatever you want to call
it. Total hobby.
Like, I mean, at this age too, like when you are like in control, like a kid too, even when you're starting to masturbate, you're probably like, there's a lot more room for error because you're like, maybe I do it outside and it's fine. I don't know. You have no real structure about
it. I wanted to do
it
on a plane the other day. And
that's what
I was texting
saying.
My friend. I was like, can I do it on a plane? And she was like, no.
Oh, bad friend.
She was like,
don't. You're such a prude, mom. But also, but that is.
Ew, who's friends with their mom?
Hilarious. that's sound advice.
Yeah.
But were you like, I'm going to go to the bathroom? I wasn't going to do it in the mid seat.
Well, I was like, well, what if I'm in first class? And she was like, are you? And I was like, no, but I could go up there and like get
and
it done.
Start masturbating. It's first class. They're going to be pumped. They're going to be like,
I could never do it in a bathroom because I need like to be very specific. Like, I used to be able to masturbate because if I was like on the road. So before I went off Zoloft, I could do it if I was like making a video. If I was like on a video with my boyfriend and I was like, yeah, I could like get off and do it, but it'd have to be like performing.
Like,
and there would have to be him saying stuff to me to like make me feel more turned on and stuff. So it had to be like a back and forth type thing. But for me to just do it alone is a new thing, and I don't know that I could just do it with my hand. I couldn't do it without porn. Like, mm-hmm. I need all these things.
You need to seduce yourself.
Yeah, but my porn is like.
Yeah, because
I can't even find what I like. I can't even. I'm out of videos. Like, they don't make enough videos for my genre.
What's your genre?
Okay, I like
Frey origin stories. Bringing it back. Count it. No, but that is a category. So, all right, what is?
It probably is. Okay, so I'll start off, like, I've always liked, like I said, I like
start
to be degraded
off.
In bed.
Okay.
So I like where the girl is just being kind of, literally, you want to search light raping. Like, that's what you want to search, but you can't search that because then you get taken down.
Flags come up.
Yes, exactly. And
then
so
the NSA shows up at
your
door.
There's other ways to search it. There's, like, you can type in the word force, and that kind of gets it, but I don't like when the girl
heavy
is
petting?
No.
We all know what that is.
Not
the heavy
quite
petting
not even
is
second
like
base.
No, it's
like,
bad. That's
it's rubbing the shoulders while maybe like rubbing your own dick over the pants. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm just saying what I saw my dad do. But hilarious.
No, but you,
what is it?
I look up like Because there's all these subgenres that I'm like, oh, this is perfect, except for this. Like, I love gangbangs. I fucking love a girl getting just plowed from, like, I like a bunch of, like, here's the thing. I think I like
multiple dicks.
I just like a lot of guys, like, wanting you. Like, I picture myself, like, oh my God, I'm so desirable. Like, all these guys want to fuck me,
like,
at the same
12
time.
12 guys all want to fuck me.
The thing I don't like.
They don't even mind if there's another guy right there.
Yes.
That's how much they want.
And they're taking turns
me.
And they're like, yeah, fuck her. And you're such a whore. Like, you're such a whore if multiple guys are fucking you and you're having it in different holes. You're such a whore. And
they're tight.
And the thing is, I'm not a whore. Like, I am a whore, but, like, I'm also not. Like, I'm successful and I'm smart and all these things. So I'm like,
you're in touch with your sexuality. You're not a whore.
I like being a whore. Like, I like being called a whore. I like being, like, just kind of.
Where does
of,
that
like,
come from? Is that just like.
I think it comes from like being out of control. Because I'm so in control of my life that when a guy is just like, you're a fucking whore, I'm like, I know I am. What do I do? Like, tell me what to do. I'm a whore.
Suck it.
Yes.
That's what you do.
I think I like being told what to do and like being coerced and forced.
Yeah.
But the thing with gangbangs that I don't like is that want the girl to. A great sense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. I want the girl to be. Like, okay, so then there's always a gangbang where, like, okay, she's getting it in the ass and the fucking pussy. And, like, guys are, like, grabbing at her tits and stuff. And then there's always a dick in her mouth. And I'm like, can you just let her enjoy this moment and not have her suck a dick, too? Can't she just enjoy what she's feeling?
She's taking on enough.
Right.
Like, and she's president of the PTA.
It feels so good to be double penetrated. Like, I've had it before with, like, toys, but never with two men. But,
gotcha.
Like, with toys, you know? Like, it feels good to just be like, whoa, I'm such a whore. I'm taking so much.
Every feeling.
And then to have a fucking, have to deal with a dick and suck a dick. That is a job.
Yeah,
that, you don't
that's
have,
a job in itself.
You don't have a feeling in your throat that's like, wow, this feels so good. You do have that in your ass and your vagina. But like, always putting a dick in a girl's face when she's being plowed by other things, it's like, you're not letting her enjoy this. So it's not about her enjoyment. So I would like gangbangs for her. Have we ever thought of that? Gangbangs. For her.
You're lucky because that's actually our new sponsor.
Yeah.
Feeling a little out of the circle.
Gangbangsforher.com.
Having trouble finding that special someone or someones.
And sometimes.
When you're a whore, but on your terms.
I like. Like, sucking dick, I'm just like, what? Like, I'm just like, I don't want to ever see it.
Well, that's the point, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the point for you to go.
And there's like no. Right. There's so much like forced, like just like making a girl like choke on your dick now that it's like
that's crazy.
So over the place. Sometimes I like that if it's all I can focus on if I'm not like being double penetrated.
Right,
because
it's like, well, there's a lot of stuff going on down there that you'd like to focus on.
Yes,
yeah.
It's like being like 69ing. It's like you're being forced to 69, and it's not. No one likes 69ing.
No
one
does. It
really isn't that good.
No one does
because you are distracted by what's
going
on in your face.
Yeah, you can't enjoy the feeling that you're having because you're like, well, I got a job to do up here.
Yeah, but my favorite thing is no dicks involved at all, and it's just a guy in a mask.
Batman?
Oh, that would be hot. Okay, so it's like,
hold on, we have a quick commercial break. Fisher-Price Toys. Fisher-Price Toys. Making the best toys for
your dreams.
I know that I'm flirting with like being like, this is all like very turning people on. And I really am not trying to like turn anyone on. I'm really just telling like what I like.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like, I think the best porn I like, I type in the word chair all the time in porn because I like a girl who's tied to a chair.
Chair turned over in the middle of the room to remind you about a chair. Yeah, boy. Well, home court advantage. This is my apartment. I remember the callbacks. All right, keep going.
Oh my God, if I ever see a chair turned over in a porn, I'm going to be like, someone's overfilling the pool.
But after she blows the guy, she's going to go turn the gas off.
I really like dungeon shit. Like cool. Where like the girl, like, but here's what I don't like about those. I don't like any kind of like clamps on nipples or on your like pussy. They sometimes put like weird like electrodes and shit. Like, I don't like all that stuff.
So it's restraint,
I want
but not pain.
Bondage, but not pain. And I don't like whipping. I don't like tickling. I don't like that stuff. I just want to be tied up to a chair and then have someone use like vibrators and dildos on me.
Okay, not me.
It does sound like the American dream. Yeah,
isn't that what
it does sound? I mean, look, if I
that was a part
enjoyed that,
no
that sounds like it would be a,
dicks. Like yeah. there's no
that
I
was a part that Martin Luther King cut out of his speech, but you know it was
nice.
There.
No, but I love. I feel like I, it takes me. It's so hard for me to like let go and have an orgasm. Like it's something that eluded me most of my life because I just am like so like no, I'm not because having an orgasm is the ultimate like you're letting go.
Yeah,
like you're,
it really is.
Anything could happen. Like it's
you're
it's,
so vulnerable. There's no more the, vulnerable human
taking
moment.
Taking a shit and mm-hmm.
And coming at the same time.
And
are
I've
the
done
two...
them before.
Hilarious.
It's actually called a Blumpkin.
Is it really?
No, no, no. If you are having right? anal, you shit on someone and you can be coming at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's called a Blumpkin.
What is that like?
Well, whatever. Blumpkin's getting a blowjob on the
yeah.
toilet.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Okay.
That's that.
That see that would feel amazing because that's my whole point about anal is it feels like a really good shit. And everyone denies it like that doesn't sound good. We all know that it feels amazing to take a good shit.
Yeah, we've all had shits where we walk out of that bathroom with a little bit of swag in our step.
Yes. So
it's like I just conquered that one.
So yeah, it's just like and girls just being forced to come is like my favorite mm-hmm. where they're like tied up, they can't get out of it and they're like screaming and they're like stop it. That's
and,
my favorite.
And they got that Hitachi or something.
Oh, you need the Hitachi.
Have you ever has anyone ever caught you watching
and we have a female producer of our show who when you said you need the Hitachi, oh. she did an aggressive nod
if you don't have the Hitachi in your life as a woman, what
is
are
it?
You doing?
For our listeners,
it is a
Hitachi is how would you describe it?
Isn't that a brand
it?
Of it's VCR?
Like
a,
it's like yeah, they used to make this back massager. Now they have totally. They said they don't want any part of it anymore because they don't want to be a.
They don't
want to
be in Brookstone.
Toys.
Yeah.
So it is literally. It's like a huge wand. It's called like the magic wand, but it used to be called the Hitachi magic wand. But it's like has a big like rubber thing on the end, and it just is like has two settings generally. I don't know what yours has. Oh! Oh my God! To go! Oh my God! My boyfriend did that with a
the dial?
He had hooked it up to a dimmer switch, so he was
what?
Able to like do it. He like really got it was awesome.
A dimmer switch so and the cable. We were able to DVR Grey's Anatomy and get fucked. Wait, so
he was trying to set the mood and it got you off?
No, no, no. Like he put it on a dimmer switch so that we could control the power, so it wasn't just two settings of like crazy strong
God.
And like I want to die strong because they're both settings are like crazy.
Now who? Tells you about this thing. Like, dude, girls talk about, like, there's this new one out.
I found out my boyfriend just bought it for me.
Right.
And was like, because he was probably tired of, like, his hand got tired from fingering me so hard. Because I like it to be like, like you're going to, like, rub my fucking, like, you're going to hurt
Jesus.
Me.
Jesus.
And so because I think he had been with girls before that were like, you just go like this, and they're like, And it's like, if you did that to me, I'd be like, go get a job. Like, you're wasting your time. So I think that he felt like, oh, she would probably be into this toy. And so he just like blindfolded me and surprised me with it. And it was my best friend. And it still is.
Now, your favorite celebrity is Jen Aniston, correct?
Yes.
Do you ever fantasize about, okay, that's a lot of, I feel like, by the way, I feel like that Google search, I'm looking at Brad's iPad and there's just 40 different images of dildos. The Hitachi dildo.
No, that's not a dildo. It's a vibrator.
A vibrator. Yeah. There is a difference.
Dildo doesn't vibrate. Yeah. Dildo is just shaped like a dick and it's like a thing that's like supposed to look like a phallic thing.
Oh, it's just a dick that you, yeah.
But there could be vibrating dildos. But vibrators and dildos are two separate things.
Boom. What's the name of a vibrating dildo? Just that?
Just I would say a vibrator.
That's usually like the rabbit, right? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The rabbit's like a G-spot thing and it has a clit thing. Let me see what you were showing him. Or did you already pull it up? It's okay.
Do you ever fantasize about meeting Jen Aniston, bonding over several topics? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's it.
Becoming best friends and then having this be something you guys talk about and real. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you're at coffee and you're getting to know each other.
My girlfriends don't like to talk about this stuff as much as I do. Like they don't like to talk about, and I'm not into like hooking up with girls as much. Like I would for a guy, like I would like hook up with, I think I could be like, I could make a girl come like with a guy. Like we could do some of the same
like
stuff that I want to
like,
do.
Hey, we accomplished this together.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like, I could do that, but I like the idea of me like going down, like I just, am like, I could take it or leave it. I would do it. I would do it if they were super turned on by it. I could get turned on by it, but, it's not something that in my own mind, I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait to like go. I mean, I would totally go down on Jennifer Aniston because she seems like she would.
Yeah, I mean, there's.
How could you turn that down?
How would she respond in that scenario?
Oh, what? Keep going. Why? Ow!
Is it lower? This is Ross, by the way.
Ross!
Rachel?
Ross.
Is that the spot? I don't know.
Yes.
My swimmer sounds like Seinfeld.
I'm so sorry if she's listening.
Oh, no.
She is one of our, one of our next commercials, Jennifer Aniston, Smartwater. Jennifer Aniston, Smartwater.
Yeah, everybody. Right.
My God.
That's incredible.
What do you look for? What's your first search thing?
Oh, we weren't talking about me.
Do you go to Pornhub or do you go to Google?
What's that? Yeah.
Do you Google it? Do you ever Google porn? Because sometimes I just Google it. I'm like, fuck it. I don't care if they know.
Sure.
What are they know everything else about me. What are they going to see me look up chair BDSM? Fine. So what do you look up when you go to Pornhub? Does it depend? Do you go to a favorite video and then go from there?
There's usually some vids that I have like that I know of. I mean, there's one that I saw recently. That's like pawn shop one where these like people come into. Like it's reality type stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I'm into.
So like the girls come in to sell something, and they're like, "Well, what if we did this? Could we get a better deal?"
Yeah, there's a lot of negotiating going on.
Okay, yeah.
I'm really turned on by the deal.
Yeah,
that's a Jew. You are such a Jew.
Hey, I got to it first, and I can say it, not you. So yes. Fuck off.
Okay.
All right. So, no, you're right. That was a good joke.
That's a good one.
The reality ones.
Reality. What do you mean based off of reality shows like Pawn?
No, just not so. Where it does seem like hitting, the car, like, caught on camera.
Oh yeah,
stuff.
Do you like massage? That's the fucking best massage ones. I love those.
So like the guy's massaging the girl, and he like casually goes down like,
and he's like, oh, I think you're
touch
like,
her butt.
No, Brad, it's the video of the guy in the waiting room waiting to go in for the massage.
Oh, yeah. that's the one. I haven't seen that.
Well,
one.
Sometimes there it's are the girls massaging guys, and I don't like that. I like where the girl is like. That's weird that he's touching that area. Okay, I'll let it go. And then it's like, suddenly she's like, well, actually, I like this. Because I got a massage once where I was like, he could finger me and I'd be A-okay with it.
Wow.
Was this one of the things you asked your folks about on your show? Because that, by the way, to me, was like groundbreaking shit.
Thank you.
Yeah, you had your parents.
Your whole show was great, but that was a very... That was like
a lie detector test.
Thank you.
That was insane.
Yeah. They seem like cool people, which helps. Because you want to feel safe.
They're down, yeah.
Even though it was not safe. but I definitely... You're like, okay, cool. They're down for it, and they're funny about it. Yeah. And you guys just had good rapport.
Yes.
How can you just give a little setup into... Were you just like, oh, this is going to be great? Or were you like, no, this is somebody else have the idea and pitch it to you?
Yeah, I think someone else was like, what if we did the lie detector on your parents and you asked them about sex? And I was like, oh, that sounds funny. And then we were writing jokes in the room and it was like, oh, this is hilarious. And then getting across from them and doing it was like really, really difficult. Like I didn't want to hear if my parents had heard me have sex and like hear them say yes or like...
Didn't you ask your parents if they tried butt stuff and your dad's like, yep.
My dad said yeah. My mom said they both said yes, and my dad said it was an accident. My mom said we talked about it beforehand. So I was like, someone's not telling the truth here.
Wait. So according to mom, there was a meeting.
I don't even
according
want to dad, live this.
According to dad, there was an oops.
There was an oops. And my mom was like, yeah, he consulted with me. I'm like, that doesn't, you have two different stories
here. By the way, consultation doesn't sound sexy at all.
No.
No, but I was with them when I got a Google alert from my name. Actually my friend just sent it to me. It was, I was on Perez Hilton and it was like, celebrities who love anal. And I was the face of it.
God,
it was like 10 celebrities who love anal, and it was just me. And it was !! Love anal! And I'm like, and I was with my parents when I got it, and I was like, oh no. And they were like, what's wrong? We were at dinner, and I was just like, I don't know. I don't want to talk about this right now. Like, I don't even know how to feel about this myself. Right.
Let me process this.
I eventually was like, okay, well, mom, you know that website that you like to read? Well, your daughter's on it, and here, and she goes, oh my God, look at. What, Nikki? No! Erase it! She told me to erase it. I was like, I don't have control over this.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So that was horrifying. But yeah, they know that I'm into that, which is disgusting to know.
Do they come to your show? I don't know. Yeah. That is a cool look. I mean,
we don't talk about it off stage.
Totally. But I think the moment too that you can not look at your parents as just parents, but people, like that is a.
I have to be able to do that.
Yes.
To look at them as normal people.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know when that clicked for you, but when I start to actually be like, all right, my mom, obviously is my mom, and we spent a lot of time just her and I together, like growing up, but I'm like, oh, then you realize, oh, you're like a cool person, and like, you're a lot where my comedy comes from, and like, sense of humor.
Yes.
That was like really refreshing, and also, I don't know, like you grow up more in that sense. And it's not like you lose your...
Well, you let the things that they did that were wrong slide because you go, oh, you're a human. And you know what? Yeah. You did... It's not that you did your best. I hate when people say you did your best because you're like, does anyone really do their best? And if you did your best, you did a shitty best. You know, like... So I think that we just... when you see your parents as like humans with like flaws, you're like, okay, I can kind of forgive them for the things that I kind of look to them and be like, why'd you do that, mom and dad? And you're just like,
they were human.
Young.
They're just trying to figure it out themselves.
Yes.
They didn't know. They didn't have a master plan. No one gave them the correct answer. And then they said, fuck you, and did a different thing.
Yes.
Like they just did the best that they
could. Someone had a good joke about like their mom being like, no one gave me a book on parenting. And it's like, there's many books on parenting. Like that's a dumb excuse.
Yeah. Like there's a whole section of them.
Yeah, they're actually there's like just that's books. Like the most popular kind of book is parenting books.
I love how open you are, and I love how there's just nothing is off limits with you. And
hey, you're so fucking funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Now, would you advise someone bring their parents to your stand up show?
People do it all the time, and I don't know why, because they always go, that was rough. And I'm like, well, don't do it. You know what you were getting into, so no, I wouldn't advise that. Unless you have like a cool mom or a cool dad, and it opens discussions for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I bring my parents to the show, so you probably could do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for anyone that hasn't seen Nikki Glaser live, please go to your website.
Check your local listings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty killer. I am.
I'm
a pretty strong comic.
You really are.
I can't not be. I've been doing it every night for the past 14 years. I better be fucking good.
Yeah. And even from the days when you and I were both opening for Mencia at the Stardome in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's how the fray started. All right. I had to get one more in.
No, and you're done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Wait, but is that that's where you guys met?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We met on tour with Carlos. Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, I remember watching you on stage going, this girl is out of her mind.
Thank you.
Were talking about things that were just like, that's incredible.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad. That's so nice.
Yes, I would highly advise.
Yeah, you're up at all the clubs here, right? Store, I see all of them. And do you like to do multiple spots in a night, or you try to...
I like at the same time, baby.
I double book myself all the time. You like to gangbang your comedy nights?
I really do gangbang my comedy nights. I'm like the Laugh Factory in my ass. Yeah.
body.
Oh, God. They don't really book me that much anymore. I just kind of realized it today. I was like, you can just like maybe have one thing you say on a podcast and then it somehow gets back to them and they're like,
no,
we're done booking her.
I mean, they're definitely trying to get a lot of like really new faces in. And I know that is like contributing to some of the up and down, like, oh, there's a lot. And look, I'm all for that, but definitely there's times where I'm like, oh, like you should recognize, like,
well,
Brad even says this the other day, he goes,
faces aren't as funny as the ones that have been doing it longer, because we've just been doing it longer.
Yeah. You also like get to a point to where you go like, oh, I got to a point where I'm in the rotation there, like, and that's just how it is right now. I remember when I first started getting a spot there like once a month, there was still all these big dogs that were in the rotation. I was like, well, no one, like, of course I'm not going to get more because they're all there all the time.
Yeah. Yes. So you got to make room for the new people. But I go up all the time.
And you do the road here and there, right?
Every weekend, pretty much. This is my first weekend in town where I'm like off. This is the first time in 6 weeks, I think.
Do you like it to be home?
No, I'm already like, why am I not leaving somewhere tomorrow?
Yeah. There is, he's gone almost every weekend. And I know when he is home, he's just like, I mean, it's a nice break, but then guess what? You're ready to go back again.
Yeah. I could be making money this weekend, and I'm not.
Right.
I'm just hanging with my dogs. And they're not as happy because they like to go, when I'm on the road, they get to go away to like a dog farm and hang with all their friends. And so, like,
they're like, mom, leave.
Yeah.
So I can go to the dog orgy.
Yes. It's way more fun. But I'm just in town doing spots this weekend. It's just sad. Like, it's whatever.
But
I'm really glad.
But you'll be going back on the road. Go to your website.
Yes.
Yes.
And you have all the tour dates there. And watch Nikki and I hurl just amazingly hurtful insults at each other.
Yes.
In the form of raps. And so it's good. And so it's fine. And
I don't know when that's airing.
I don't know. I think we're like episode 9, I was
told. Oh, great. Okay.
Nice.
I don't know. So we're like,
sometime in December.
Yeah.
And if you see her after a show and you want to give her a gift, a Hitachi is not out of the question.
Listen, mine, I like to switch them up. My other one's getting a little dirty.
You hear that?
Give me a new one. Also, another vibrator that I would really recommend is called, it's the worst name for it. It's called the womanizer.
Oh, okay.
But it is,
all right.
It looks like a it's thing that you take your temperature
it's
with.
It's modeled after Harvey Weinstein's dick.
Yes. Oh my God. If it looked like this.
Oh, so it, gross. Who's
it's
buying
the worst
that?
Name. It's the worst name ever, but it was recommended to me by a vagina doctor who I had on my show and I talked to about wow. like how I can't come unless there's like a lot of pressure.
They would
and
know.
She was like, oh, you need the womanizer. And she bought it for me, sent this thing to me, and I've bought it for all my friends. It looks like the thing you take your temperature with your ear. Like,
yeah.
It's shaped like that conical yeah. almost at okay. the end. And you put it over, there's like a hole, and you put it over your clit, and it just sucks your clit like, at different speeds. And it is insane. Like, you will, if you don't squirt, you will.
Wow.
Guaranteed, or your I can't give you
or
anything
your clit back.
Or your clit back, because it does it sucks your clit out. Did I not say that?
Good night, everybody.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know. But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy. This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.